horizontal cross. So last week I talked about the vertical side of the cross. And before I get started, I do want to encourage you to, and you can turn your Bible to Galatians chapter 6 and get ready. In fact, you can go ahead and stand now if you want to. Galatians chapter 6. I really, really encourage you to see this movie, Unplanned. Would you stand with me? Now, I understand that we all, as Christians, we are all against abortion. Can I get an amen out there?
Amen.
This movie, however, people say, well, I already know what it's about. It would do you good to see exactly a little more information, a little more detail on what is your children and your grandchildren are dealing with in the public school. You will see in that movie how they deceive these young ladies. You will see in this movie how God can step down. You will see the right way to protest. You will see the wrong way to protest. You will see how God answers prayer. And one thing is that we as the church must always, we as the church ended slavery. It was Holy Ghost filled Christians who were abolitionists who said we must end slavery, and we ended slavery because we believe the word of God. Amen. And it is Christians that are going to stop this thing called abortion. So Please, let me know tonight. I need to let the theater know how many's coming, and just make it a sacrifice. Bring somebody with you. I wouldn't, unless if it's a young lady, 14 and above, they especially need to see it, because in high school, they're going to hear the other side of the story. And so this is an outreach, so please be prepared for that. Not this Tuesday night, but the next Tuesday night. And all of God's people said amen. A little girl came to church for the first time, and she had always been in nursery and children's church, and she saw the communion table, and on the communion table was the wooden cross. And she said, Mommy, what's that big plus sign up there? Well, I want you to know that the cross is a big plus sign. Amen. For those of you that didn't hear that last Sunday, Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, read it out loud with me, everyone together, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Father, thank you for the blessed old rugged cross. Bless the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. Turn around and tell somebody you're blessed and highly favored of God. I'm amazed. Hallelujah. I want you to give Jesus another hand of praise tonight. Amen. He is all worthy. All worthy. All worthy. Last week, we began to take a unique look at the literal cross of Jesus Christ by considering that the cross has two parts, the vertical and the horizontal. Say that with me. The and the. And last Sunday, we talked about the vertical. We told you how that the vertical part of the cross stood for God coming from up there, vertically, down to us. And I told you how God initiated salvation. Say the word initiated. He started it. It was in his mind. And for you to be saved, you don't go up to him. You don't have to go up, up, up. He came down, 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 so that we could go up, up, up. Amen? You see, he made the first step. And he made the biggest step. And all you have to make is the next step. And I'll tell you what, that's what Easter is all about. Getting people to take the next step to that cross that Jesus died upon. So tonight, the horizontal cross. The two go hand in hand. You cannot have one without the other. And just as the vertical part speaks of God coming down, the horizontal cross speaks to us that God's and the first speaks of initiation, how he initiated salvation. And with his arms open wide, the second part speaks of God's invitation. I want you to know he is inviting people to come to the cross. The message is loud and clear that whosoever will, let him call upon the name of the Lord. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. May we ever shout it. May we ever cherish it. May we ever share it with our friends, our neighbors, our loved ones, that the horizontal cross is his arm spread open wide. And God forbid that we should glory. I don't need 9 steps to a better self-esteem or 4 steps steps to a happier existence. I need to come to the old rugged cross where my sins are dealt with and where love is divine and where God does His greatest work on a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. Can you praise Him for the plus sign of the cross? Has it made a difference in your life? If it has, give Him glory in this house. I'm amazed at the old rugged cross. The horizontal cross, the arms open wide. Three things. Number one, it speaks of forgiveness. Somebody say forgiveness. Forgiveness. Because I want you to understand what is happening here. That when Jesus spread His arms like this, His arms were stretched east and west. His arms were not stretched north and south. He was stretched east and west. And that's important because Psalm 103 and 12, Psalm 103 and verse 12 talks about the east from the west. And think of His arms stretched east to west on that plain. Psalm 103 and verse 12 says, "For as far as the what is from the so far hath He removed our transgressions." Now this is significant because if you go north and keep going north, you are eventually going to go south. And if you go south, and that's a good thing, if you're ever going south, just remember, you keep going south, you will eventually come up north. Amen? But when you go east, you will never, never meet west. You're going to keep going east and keep going east. You're not going to flip around and wind up going west. And if you go west, you're going to keep going west. And you're never going to meet east. As far as east is from the west, that is eternity. That is nowhere. God has forgiven and removed my sins. What sins? Adultery, fornication, lying, lasciviousness, backbiting, jealousy. It's the sin of drunkenness, sexual perversion, the sin of not loving God with all of your heart, not helping when you could have helped. Have I hit everybody yet? Let me keep going here. I'm talking about sin. None of us are so self-righteous. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But on that horizontal cross, He took my sins and He forgave me. Somebody shout hallelujah tonight. We deal with guilt, don't we? Well, if I hadn't have done this, I wouldn't be here. If I had have done that, or if I did, that's called guilt. That's from the devil. God, the minute that you come to the cross, your whole life is better right there. Amen. It's things are looking up. Amen. I'm telling you, the horizontal cross, I don't care what you've done. I don't care how much you've been bruised, battered, or beaten. I don't care if it's the big sins. Drugs, alcohol, abortion. And by the way, those who have committed abortion, there is forgiveness. God will forgive and pardon. We're not here to preach a message of hate and condemnation. That's what they say we're doing. No, we're trying to tell you there's love and acceptance and forgiveness. And what about the little sins, wrong choices, bad decisions, little white lies? As far as the east is from the west. Come on, say amen. Now here's the deal. A lot of people... let's talk about sin for a moment. A lot of people think, well, I'm okay. I don't really have sin. I'm a good person. I'm just misunderstood. And I've had some bad things to happen to me. But down deep inside, I'm a really good person. Can I tell you something tonight? You were born in sin. You are a sinner. I am a sinner. Was a sinner. Please understand, we have original sin. Not original innocence. People are like, well, everybody's good. Everybody's a sinner. Everybody has sinned, either not only by choice, but by default. You just stole candy when you were a kid because you were a sinner. You weren't an innocent little something. You were a sinner. I know that's not politically correct, and I know everybody gets all clammed up, and people start sweating, and people get offended. That's a good thing, because I'm stirring up the fact that you're getting offended shows that you're a sinner. come on right there. If you were all sweet and cutely and innocent, you wouldn't get offended. You'd be like, yes, sir, that's me. Come on now. We've all sinned. Well, I heard about two hogs in the hog pen. See, I'm from Eastern North Carolina. I got to describe this so what we can understand what we're trying to say. You know, the hogs. I remember going to my uncle's house and seeing a hog in the bathtub. I kid you not. Dead as dead could be. In the bathtub. They were curing that hog. I don't know what they were. They weren't baptizing him, I guess. I'm telling you, I'm from Eastern North Carolina and proud of it. And one hog snorted to the other. You sure look dirty. The other snorted back. Well, I'm just as clean as everybody else. We've all sinned. We're all dirty. You might be a little less mud on you than the other hog in the pen, but we're all in the pen of sin. And God, we stand before a holy God. He must judge in righteousness. He can't let somebody off the hook and let you go by with it. That would be an unrighteous judge. And the Bible says, shall not the judge of the earth do right? There is a reckoning day coming. We will stand before the judgment seat or the great white throne. And we will give an account for every thought, every word, every deed, every action, every misdeed, every inaction. Oh, my friend, I hope that we fear and tremble so much that we say, what must we do? I'll tell you what we must do. We must come to the horizontal cross. And there he will wash our sins away, brother. Ray, I'm amazed. Somebody give him praise that he can take the dirt off. Somebody say amen. Amen. The Bible says love is patient and love is kind. This is the NIV. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. Love is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. And love keeps no record of wrongs. Listen to that. Love or charity keepeth no record of wrong. I love that, Brother Philip. That just stirs my spirit. You mean to tell me that he doesn't keep a record of our wrongs? Well, I thought back in 1986, I really messed up. I cheated on the math test in Mrs. James' math class over at Southern National Junior High. But according to God, it never happened. Amen. Come on now. Are you with me? You say, well, God knows everything. He does know. He's aware of it. It didn't say he didn't know of any wrong. He said he just don't keep a record of the wrong. Come on. It's not on the books. Hallelujah. It might have happened. But friend, it's been expunged. He's got an eraser. He's got a file delete. Hallelujah. The hard drive has been destroyed. Glory to God. My sins are gone. He's kept no record. I can shout because I'm free of the sins. Amen. So when I was growing up, they actually used chalkboards. Does anybody remember the chalkboards? Now all the youth are in the back tonight and they have no clue what a chalkboard is. But when I was going to school over at Cooper's Elementary down there at Sandy Cross, they had a chalkboard and the teacher got a piece of chalk. And she would take the chalk and she would write on the board. And then she would erase it. And so a little boy, he just couldn't understand how God could take his sins and move them away as far as the east is from the west and totally forget his sin. He just couldn't understand. He said, Mama, I still remember my sin. How can God forget it? His mama said, well, son, when the teacher writes something on the chalkboard and then erases it, where do those words go? And the little boy's light went off. He said, Mama, I got it. You know where they go? They go nowhere. And you know where my sins go? They go nowhere. They're nowhere to be found. They've been erased. The handwriting of ordinances has been obliterated, the apostle said in the book of Colossians. Oh, thank God for the horizontal cross. It speaks of forgiveness. Have you been forgiven tonight? He who loveth much has been forgiven much. Oh, I want to tell you that when you have been forgiven of your sins, you love God with a great, oh, thank you, Lord, despite all I've done. Oh, God, you still love me. You still died for me. We ought to just lift our hands and praise him. him for the old rugged cross and the horizontal cross. Come on and give him a hand of praise in this house tonight. By the way, this isn't in the message, but here's a good point to make this point. If he's forgiven you, you need to do two things. You need to forgive yourself. And number two, you need to forgive other people. Woohoo! Amen. Well, I'll never talk to my brother until he comes to himself. No, you need to wipe the chalkboard. The Bible does say if you don't forgive, can you imagine God forgiving you? Well, you don't know what my brother did. Well, you know what? Your attitude to God is even worse. You don't believe that? Well, that's the story of the prodigal son. So, number one, the horizontal cross means forgiveness. Somebody say amen. Number two, it means acceptance. I mean, it's one thing to forgive somebody, but man, they really messed me up. Well, I forgive you, but I don't particularly want to be around you. Come on, you ever felt like that? I mean, I have. There's people that's done me wrong. There's people in that have done me wrong in different places, and I would just, I don't want to be around them. But I'm telling you what, I haven't forgiven them. Amen. But the cross means acceptance. Somebody say acceptance. You see, we talk about immigration, but 100 years ago when the Europeans were immigrating to America, they saw the Statue of Liberty. I'm planning to go see it later this year. I've already seen it, but I want to see it again. It's been many years. And on the Statue of Liberty, it says, "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses, yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed to me, and I lift my lamp beside the golden door." That was called legal immigration, where America opened its doors to people who loved this country and wanted to not bring their stuff, but to learn how great it could be to be an American. Amen, amen. Woo, I'm going to get letters, calls, and threats for that. Oh, my. But what was the Statue of Liberty saying? Accept you. I accept you. You know what rejection is. We've all been rejected to some point. You filled out a job application and somebody else got the job. You had a family of three or four and you felt like your brother or sister had more attention than you. You feel rejected. Maybe you were married for many years and you loved your spouse, but you discovered on the internet that they had been meeting someone from another state and you feel rejected and maybe you were passed over for something. Maybe even in the church, you feel like I should have taught that Sunday school class, but somebody else taught it. We all struggle with rejection. Nevermore has there been divorces like we've ever seen. Single family homes, blended families. You know what a blended family is? Back in the 70s, the situation comedies tried to put laughter onto the things that were happening. For example, the Brady Bunch. You had a blended family, three boys and three girls, three from one from the dad, three from the mother. And on the TV, it just worked wonderful. But did you know that in a lot of blended families where two or three brothers from one and two or three brothers from the other, it is terrible, and there's tension, and there's bullying, and there are things, and a child is like, well, my mama is married to this man and I love my mother, but this man and his children are mistreating me, and oh, I feel rejected. Is anybody out here listening to me? Grandchildren, your grandchildren, your nieces, your nephews are not happy. Teenagers, they surveyed teenagers and they said, what is the number one problem that you are having? And they said the number one problem is that we don't feel good about ourselves. We don't feel adequate. We feel rejected. So please understand that people are dealing with rejection. But my friend, the horizontal cross says that you're not rejected. It says his arms are open wide. It says you are accepted. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 6. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6. Turn around and tell your neighbor this. Say, I'm accepted in the beloved. Say it. to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath what? Made us what? Accepted. Hallelujah. You are accepted in the family of God. I don't care what your family does here on earth. If your mother and your father forsake you, the Lord will take you up. I'm here to tell you, you are accepted. Somebody say amen. This is a true story. And I'm about to come to a close because I'm just wore out. Glory to God. It's hard leading that choir. Amen. I'm telling you. Feel like I've been on a treadmill. Because I give it all I got. I'll tell you something funny. Say, everybody wants me to bring the little baton out. Uh-oh, I dropped your sheet music there. So I used the little baton. And I felt so anointed last time I did it. And Brother Raleigh Scott said, Brother Ricky, you did so good. You just reminded me of Lawrence Welk. So I'm not going to use the baton this year. Amen. We retiring the baton. This is the cantata of 2017. Christmas 2016 and Easter 2017. It's a new day. Say amen. But I want to tell you this true story. Warren Beamer was a youth pastor with John Hagee. And he also used to be the youth pastor at the Capitol Church in Raleigh. Under the pastor back then was Roland Harrell. He told the story how he went to Toronto, Canada to hold a youth crusade. And he told it how over 1,000 young people were there. And he was preaching to those young people how God loved them. And a young woman came down and was praying. And several have gathered around her. And a boyfriend came down to drag her away. And Warren Beamer said this young man was angry. He was dressed wild and he was trying his best to get his girlfriend away. Warren Beamer said that as he walked down off the stage, he tried to talk to that young man and he was just so full of anger. All of a sudden, Warren Beamer said, the Lord spoke to me just as clear and said, give him your watch. And he was like, is the devil on the phone calling 911? He's like, God, I can't get, you know, have you ever done that? Lord speak to you and you're kind of arguing with the Lord even while you're talking to somebody. I've done it. Trust me. And he was like, God, I can't give him my watch. My wife and my kids just gave me this nice expensive watch. And Warren Beamer said, God said, do it. And so while they were down there and he was trying to talk to the young man, he just took off his watch and put it over the hand of the wrist of that young, angry, punked out man. And the young man said, what are you doing? And Warren Beamer said, son, God wanted me to give you this watch and say these words. This is from your father. And all of a sudden, that young man gasped. And then he began to cry. And several people came around to pray for this once angry, hate-filled young man. And after a few moments, the young man regained his composure. He said to Warren Beamer, he said, you can't understand this, man. He said, my dad died when I was 12 years old. He said, after he died, I used to go in his room every day and just play with his watch. I would just sit there and looking at my daddy's watch for hours. He said, but then my mama, she got a new husband and he didn't like me. And so they kicked me out, and I've been living on the streets for 4 or 5 years now, man. And the only thing that I ever really wanted from my house, I didn't want my clothes. I didn't want anything else. If mama wanted that man, she could have him. The only thing I ever really wanted was my daddy's watch. So yeah, when God said to you, give me that watch, it's from your father. He said, I believe you. And he opened up and gave his heart to the Lord. Those arms open wide is from your father. Last point, there's forgiveness, there's acceptance, and I'm going to close with this. I'm going to need a volunteer to help me. You're all nervous now, I can see. I need a man. Expectance. Now, I don't think the word expectance is a word. Expectancy is, but I couldn't. Is expectance a word? Okay, that's But anyway, it's a word for this sermon tonight, okay? Brother Philip, I'm going to just help me. You're not my volunteer, but I just want you to help me. I just want you to just hold this microphone for me. Which I could get one of the, I'll tell you what, I'll get one of those poles over there. Go ahead, brother. Let's do a, all right. But I need a man. I need a man other than the pastor. I don't want Pastor Jerry to do this. I want him to help me pray, if you don't mind, Pastor. But, oh, it's not a word. Okay. All in favor of it being a word for this sermon, say aye. All opposed, go home and McDonald's or somewhere. All right. There's my volunteer. Don't forget, I need to see you tonight. All right. Can you shut those doors back there for me? Those kids are having a blast back there. Brother Baker, am I okay to stand here or I need to go up? Okay. Expectance. The arms open wide stand for forgiveness as far as the east is from the west. They stand for acceptance, that you've been accepted in the beloved. But let's take it to another level. It stands for expectance. God is expecting you to come. What do you mean? What do you mean? I want you to think of how that your spouse is off the airplane and has been gone for a week to a business trip, and you're in the terminal and you see him walking way, way down over there, and you haven't seen your lovely husband that you love with all of your heart in several days, and you begin to see him and you're excited. And what do you normally do? What do you normally do when you see, when you have a reunion? What do you do? Throw those arms out. Throw them out, brother. Praise God. Stand over there, brother. Hallelujah. This is my brother from another mother. Amen. He lives in Texas, and I live in Eastern North Carolina. And he moved to Texas years ago, and I haven't seen him in 2 or 3 years. And there he is. Oh, I'm expecting you. I'm expecting you. Glory. Oh, somebody praise God. He's expecting you. I said he's expecting you. Why don't you come to the fountain filled with blood? Why don't you drop your sins and your habits and leave them behind and come to God, who will wrap you with his love and he'll wrap you with his forgiveness? What are you waiting for? Are you waiting for something else? Are you waiting to do a little better? That ain't going to happen. We know that. Why don't you? He's expecting you. Why don't you praise him that right now? He's expecting people to come. And flip that coin. I'm expecting. You just have a seat right there. I got some more use for you. I'm expecting people to come to Jesus this Easter. Amen. I'm expecting this house to be full. I'm expecting my mother, my sister, my family, and my mother's husband, my sister, my brother-in-law. I'm working on them. I'm expecting sinners to be saved. I've got my arms open. This is the church, Westmoreland, of the arms open wide. We are a loving, growing church, bringing hurting families to a healing Jesus. We're expecting God to bless. Oh, he's expecting you. He's expecting you. That's what the prodigal son did. And Brother Wilson, would you mind just getting ready to play? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sister Julia, can I use you on this side here? Oh, Brother Milton, if you'll stand on this side here. Hallelujah. And I'm closing. If you can just go right on down just a little bit. Just go right on down this way. Right there. That's good. And you're good there. But the prodigal son, he said, I'm going to leave. I'm going to leave. Give to me the portion of goods that falleth to me. God gave him that. And if you'll ask for the portion of goods that falls to you, he'll give you that. But what he did with it, the father had to let him make his own will. It's called free will. Amen. And the Bible says that the prodigal son found himself. Where'd he find himself at? Seems like we've been talking about hogs a lot tonight, haven't we? We have really been talking about hogs a lot tonight. I don't know how late Parker stays open. We might have to go and get some barbecue. He got in the hog pen and he's like, I'm hungry. And people get hungry. They think it's a relationship. They think it's a drug. They think it's about, no, they're just hungry. What are they hungry for? They really don't know it, but they're hungry for what only God can give.
That's right.
He said, I will arise and go to my Father. Now you got to understand that this is Eastern Hemisphere, not Western Hemisphere. These were Eastern people, not Western. Western is different than Eastern. For example, in Eastern, the bridegroom is the star of the wedding. In the Western wedding, the bride is The groom is the star of the wedding over there. And the bride is the star of the wedding over here. And all you ladies say amen to that. But over in Israel, it's not the bride. It's the groom that's the star of the wedding. But the point is this, that in the Western culture, when a son had rebelled, they had gates around the city. And there was elders. And when a son rebels, they're put on a list. And they're to be stoned with stones if they're ever discovered. And he was risking his life to go back home because he was under judgment and he could have been stoned and killed. But the Bible says that the Father saw him afar off. You know why? Because he wanted to catch his son before the judges caught his son. That tells me that the Father was expecting his son. His arms were, come on, put your arms open wide. His arms were open wide. He was coming home and his prodigal son came to his father and he didn't feel the stones and he didn't feel the judgment because the Father was expecting him. Somebody shout glory. Hallelujah. Stand with me tonight. Stand with me. Thank God for the horizontal cross. If you don't mind, I still need you up here. Do you mind? Oh, you're fine. So here's what I want to do tonight. I want you to come, all the men, I want you to come to Brother Milton, and I want you to just hug. Now, if you're not comfortable with that, that is fine. If you just want to shake hands, we'll accept that. But I want you to, he's not the Lord, but as unto the Lord, I want to come, hold your hands out, and I just want to hug. Let's move on to the altar and pray. You see what I'm doing? Can you bring your needs to the Father? He's expecting you. And you ladies, you come to Sister Julia. And I tell you what, this lady loves everybody. Amen. She's got a loving spirit about her. And if you ladies, you're not leaving me, are you, brother? Okay. All right. All right. I didn't know if you were quitting on the job. Amen. Amen. All right. Men, you don't have to do this, take a long time, but I just want you to come because why? He's expecting you. How many of you need a healing? How many of you need a healing? He's expecting you. How many of you need deliverance? He's expecting you. How many of you have got a child that needs to be saved? You want to be here Easter? God's expecting you. Amen. Would you go ahead and just play whatever the Lord lays upon your heart? Men, would you come? Ladies, would you come? Once you've had that moment, just find you a place to pray. Hallelujah.
I stand amazed in the presence.
He's expecting you.
Jesus the Nazarene.
Samantha, he's expecting you.
Sister
Brenda, he's expecting you. Yes.
A sinner condemned unclean.
Come on, he's expecting you.
How marvelous, how wonderful, in my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior.
He's expecting you.
For me. He took
bring
my
your needs
sins
to the Lord.
And my sorrows.
Bring your needs
he
to
made
the Lord.
Them his very own.
Bring your needs to the Lord.
He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone.
Oh, how marvelous.
Singing how marvelous.
Come on.
How
he's
wonderful
you.
And my song shall ever be. How marvelous. Wonderful is my Savior's love.
He's expecting you. Come on, come on.
How wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. And with the ransoming glory, his face I at last shall see.
He's expecting you tonight.
It will be my joy.
Horizontal cross.
Ages, to sing of his love for me.
Oh, how marvelous.
Sing how marvelous. How wonderful.
He's expecting
my
you.
Song
He's
shall
expecting
ever be. How marvelous. How wonderful is my Savior's love for me. I stand
presence of Jesus the Nazarene,
and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. Singing how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior.
Love for me.
He took my sins and my sorrows.
He's expecting
he made
you.
Them his very own.
Yes.
He bore
thank
the
you, Lord.
Burden
thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Calvary, and suffered and died alone.
The horizontal cross.
Singing how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be.
Do a verse. I want to hear a verse. Whichever one.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene.
Come on.
And wonder how he could love me,
a sinner condemned unclean. Everyone.
Singing how marvelous, how wonderful.
Savior.